Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode here of the Hawks Watch podcast. This is your host, James Arnold. I'm coming to you here about 48 hours before the NBA draft here in a couple days. The Hawks have the 13th and 22nd pick in this year's draft. And so today I'm going to be doing a bit of a final draft primer to get ready for, the picks, give my final thoughts on, you know, who the Hawks should be looking at, who I'd be, you know, more happy with them picking, and maybe some who I would be a little less happy with them picking. Although, you know, I want to preface all of this, like, you know, all of these guys are young, you know, talented basketball players. Like, you know, just because I'm unhappy with who they pick doesn't mean doesn't mean they're going to be a good or bad player or not a good selection. It's just what I'm seeing currently with the data that I have, which is really, you know, all anyone can do. And it's an inexact science. I'm by no means an expert scout or anything like that, but I have paid pretty close attention to, you know, all of the draft talk, watch film of some of these guys that I hear about and I like. I'm like, okay, I want to go check them out. So I'm just going to give my thoughts here, and hopefully you guys enjoy. Without further ado, let's play the music here. All right, first here, I just want to kind of set the stage for this conversation. So, you know, let's just first kind of go back, recap a little bit of the Hawks 2024 season to catch some people up real quick. So Hawks finished with 40 wins, 82 games, so 40 and 42, just right under 500. The average age of the starting five, you know, Onyeka, Jalen Johnson, Dyson Daniels, Zachary Risache, and Trey Young, which is their core, starting five that they plan to go with, you know, moving forward, at least for now. The average age of that starting five is 22.6. So very, very young. They have a lot of internal growth and development ahead of a lot of those guys. So likely, you know, just that starting five is, you know, you would expect it to get, you know, maybe a little better next season already without even adding any additional players to that or anything. Honestly, you know, they probably would have made the playoffs if Jalen did not get injured. So that's a pretty good starting point. Some of the strengths this team has is defensive versatility, even though they are, you know, lacking a bit in depth. Like, you know, when Jalen went down, well, they don't have another guy that can provide the size and physicality, rim pressure at the four. Like, you know, they traded DeAndre, who really didn't have those things either. He did have the size, I guess, at 6'8". But, then they had Niang, who's, of course, an older, slower, less athletic, backup, power forward type. Well, he had to play a lot of minutes. And then they were relying on guys like Terrence Mann, Zachary Risache, these. Well, Zach is tall, but 19, he's not too big and bulky. So, just lacking in depth and size there. like some of the biggest needs I think is just like more combo forwards, size, physicality. You know, the Hawks, another one of their strengths was transition offense as a place they excel. Of course, they have Trae Young, elite playmaker, in my opinion, top one or two passers in the league. Even though, you know, they do lack a secondary and tertiary initiator, which we'll kind of get here to in a second. So moving on to the weaknesses, again, depth at the forward and center positions, just need size and physicality in the interior. I mean, they have some guys that are good at that, but again, just depth there is an issue. Also shooting, like, you know, Bogey did not perform well this year, and they really didn't have any other guys that could play and shoot. Now, of course, they acquired Niang, who's a great shooter, at the deadline, and he's, you know, likely to be on the team next year unless he's used as matching salary in some sort of trade. But, you know, other than that, and Trae Young, which, you know, Trae shoots a high volume of threes, yes, but, like, that's kind of your point. It's a given that he's a good shooter, but it's not like other, like, you need shooting around him, if that makes sense. I think you guys know what I'm saying. And again, secondary, tertiary initiation, the only other guy that they really had that was, you know, a playmaker, good, you know, decent passer, could break the paint, kick it out, is Caris LeVert. V. Krejci has a little bit of that in him, but, you know, not a player you can play much more than 15 minutes a night, which, again, good in his role, but not like a guy you want out there ideally playing 25 plus minutes a night, probably. So, you know, that's kind of where the roster's at, without going, you know, too crazy in depth in it. Just going to move on here real quick to transition to front office perspective. So Ansi Saleh is the new general manager of the Hawks after they fired Landry Fields at the end of the season. He had his first media availability earlier today, in which, you know, to be honest, he did not say much. But of course he got asked about a draft and, you know, a bunch of questions there. He says his draft philosophy is to just pick the best player available always. You know, not taking into account fit as much, just, you know, pick the best talent out there. And I do agree with that. So that's kind of the mindset, the very little that we have on the mindset of the front office going into the draft. He did mention as well that the Hawks have optionality several times, kind of hinting at the possibility of trading up in the draft, even though I really don't feel like that's a likely outcome. I would rather, I'd rather just take two swings at the picks. This class is kind of a flat draft in that, you know, there's so many guys in here that are quality. So a lot of the guys that they're looking at 13 might be there at 22. So kind of overlaps, and there's so many guys to look at for this class. I'd rather just have two swings because no one's really a surefire thing. But there's a lot of, you know, talented players. So that's how I'm thinking about it. That's a little bit about how the front office is thinking about it. We'll get into, let's just start first with the 13th pick in the draft. So I'm going to go over some players that I'd like, some that I, you know, maybe wouldn't like as much, but are being considered in that range by the consensus. So yeah, let's get into that. All right, folks. So let's go to pick 13. So I'm gonna give you guys a bunch of prospects, just list them off, then I'll kind of go through their draft profiles, what I think of them. I'll also give a best case scenario in my opinion. Again, I want to preface, look, there's a lot of guys that could go, right? So there's going to be a lot of names here. Bear with me. I'll try to make it as concise as I can. But again, there's a lot of guys. So, all right, the guys in the range of pick 13, Carter Bryant, potentially Derek Queen if he falls, Cedric Coward, Thomas Sorber, Colin Murray-Boyles, Noah Asenge, Agor Demin, and Kasparis Iacuchonis. So those are, seven, eight, nine guys or something there that all could realistically go at 13. There's probably even more guys that, could potentially go there, but I feel like this is 90%+ chance one of these guys is probably going to go there. My best case scenario from those guys is Colin Murray-Boyles. So if you listen to my podcast episode a couple weeks back, this may have changed. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I've done a lot more listening and watching, reading about the draft, going through profiles, watching more of these players. And I truly believe Colin Murray-Boyles is at the very, very minimum a top 10 player in this class. And honestly, I on my board, I have him above Derek Queen, who, if Derek Queen fell, pretty much 99% of people in the draft would be like, okay, if he fell to 13, you take him. But I have Colin Murray-Boyles ahead of him. I think he's just no questions asked top 10 guy. So a little bit about Colin Murray-Boyles, why I'm so high on him. So he is a 6'6 power forward who can also play a little bit at center. He was on a truly, truly terrible team at South Carolina this year. He basically carried the team on both ends. He has a 7-foot-plus wingspan. He's an elite, elite defensive talent, like probably the best defensive prospect in the entire class. He has high basketball IQ on both ends. He's strong. He's like 240 pounds at 6'6". He hustles. He's can move his feet quickly. Again, he's got length, coordination, super switchable defender, probably can guard, honestly, like maybe even 1 through 5, at least 2 through 5, I think. He can play a little center for you. He can play power forward. And this was such a problem for the Hawks, right? Like, again, you don't draft for fit. Best player available, I think he's that at 13, for one. But also the fit is just like, I think on my last podcast I actually said he wasn't a great fit. But now that I really thought about it and I kind of fell in love with drafting him, I like really hope it happens. You're getting a guy that is elite defensively. He can play a bunch of positions. He's a good passer. Can initiate offense, create shots for himself, and he can, the Hawks just, they're not going to have, backup power forward problems. Like I said, like one of the biggest needs was depth at the power forward position, along with physicality and size. He provides all of that. Now, he's not very tall, but again, has the length. He's super big, physical, and elite defensively. So he's not going to be, you know, a problem there. His big drawback, again, not for me really, is his shooting. So he's not a good shooter. It's probably something they can work with. There's a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in the NBA are just like, look, we can teach these guys how to shoot. We're not that worried about it. And, you know, that's been proven a lot of times. You even see it with Dyson Daniels. I'm not saying he's an elite shooter, but even just a few years, he's improved a lot. He'll hit open ones. And, like, this guy has so much else that that's really not a problem. He can block shots. He's got really good hands. So, you know, defensively, I think that speaks for itself. Offensively, he's like a playmaking hub. He has really good feel for the game. He can pass from a bunch of different spots. Excellent in the short roll. Makes good reads out of screens. And he's just a bulldozer. Finishing around the rim. Uses brute strength. Good footwork. Soft touch. Super efficient scorer. Tenacious rebounder on both ends. I mean, it's just, there's so much to like about him. I don't know. He might be a top seven, even higher, player in this draft. And, like, I like it. At 13, I really, really like it, especially for the Hawks. He's got Draymond Green, Julius Randle, Paul Millsap, other guys, you know, that are have that physicality, interior scoring, and kind of glue guy on the court. So I think he'd be a fantastic pick. If they get him, I'm going to be jumping up and down. I'm going to stop talking about him, though, because we got a lot of guys to get to, okay? So, coming up next here, I've got, let's just go to Derek Queen. So, Derek Queen, he's a guy that's probably not going to be there. He's a center, at 6'10 or so. Really good offensively. He's got a lot of skill. He can face up. He's got really good handle and dribbling ability at 6'10 in the center position. The question for him is, what is he going to be on defense? He's got an awkward build, and I'm not the biggest. I mean, look, he's a great offensive talent. I'm not the biggest fan of taking him, again, especially for the Hawks. There's another guy here, Cedric Howard. He's flown up the boards. Honestly, I don't think he was projected to be a first round pick at all, even, but this is a, you know, prototypical wing, supernatural shooter. Like, his shot is going to translate. Defensively, he's got let's just say he could improve, although he does have good tools, long, like, again, prototypical wing side that you want. He just doesn't have the, I guess, discipline and footwork on defense and know-how yet. But again, I think NBA teams are like, look, we can teach these guys to do that as long as they have the motor, the work ethic, and the Hawks have been really good at developing that. So, look, if Colin Murray-Boyles is gone, I'm cool with Cedric Howard. I'm also good with Carter Bryant, who I talked, I think, most about last time. 6'9". Shot is, it went in at the college level. It's not like he's an elite shooter, but that's got to be workable. Really athletic, good defensively. He'd be a really good combo forward to add to the mix. Again, if Colin Murray-Boyles isn't there, that's a good guy to take, to slot in some depth at the power forward position. just to give, you know, again, more physicality and size. I think he's going to be a good player for a long time in the league. Thomas Sorber, he's another center. Honestly, other than Malawak, who is not going to make it to 13, I think Thomas Sorber is my favorite center. I don't think he's... Derek Queen has a higher variability of where he's going to go, in my opinion. Like, he's got high upside. If the defense can get there, he's going to be really good. And as long as his body is workable and okay. Like, I don't know. An 82-game season is really tough on the body. I don't think he's had injury concerns, but I don't know. That's a question I've got. Thomas Sorber, you know, super good processor on both ends. He's about 6'9". He's got a 9'2" standing reach, I believe. So, you know, pretty good size at center, even though it's not like what all these Hawks fans want, the 7-footer that can shoot threes. They don't mention he probably gets paid $40 million a year if he can do all that and block shots, but I'll leave that there. You know, Thomas Sorber, at the very minimum, I think he's going to be a very good backup, if not a consistent, you know, good starting center. Again, on both ends, he's got good processing on both ends, offensively, defensively. It's a question of, okay, what scheme can he run defensively? There's some questions there, but he'd be a fine pick at 13 as well. Another guy who's he's probably not going to be there, but Noah Asenge. For the Hawks, I'm actually a little lower. Asenge, he does have a lot of talent. He's 18 years old. I believe he's 6'11". It's almost like a... I don't want to compare him to Giannis because that's going to hype him up too much. But like Giannis as a prospect, maybe, where he's raw, you know, thin, tall, he's got some skill, but like, you know, you don't know how it's going to pan out, and he's 18. I think NBA teams are really high on him, actually, long term. It's just for the Hawks, I'm like, we're kind of on, we're on that win now. We're trying to win sooner rather than later. Let's just say that, okay? And, you know, if you got to wait 4 or 5 years for this guy to become even 22, where he's starting to really come into his own and, you know, become that player, maybe it doesn't take that long, but, like, to be, like, really effective, I don't know. It's going to take a long time, I think, with him. So for the Hawks, I'm like, if he's there and, you know, a lot of these other guys aren't there, okay, yeah, you can definitely take him. Just going to have to put him in the G League. He's not really, I don't think, going to help anytime soon. But, you know, he's athletic, got transition game. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong about that. He could be a really good 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old player in the league. I'm laughing just because I, you know, again, could happen. I don't know that it's likely, but okay, let's get to a guy that I really don't like that I mentioned. Like, if they take this guy at 13, I'm not gonna be jumping up and down happy. I'll just have to accept it somehow, and that guy is Igor Denim, or Demon. Now I can't remember if it's Denim or whatever. This guy, doesn't do much but pass. He's 6'9". Yes, he's got size. He's got some guard skills. But other than passing, there's not much that he does. Can't shoot. Defensively, it's kind of a train wreck. Like, I just... Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Not for the Hawks. Honestly, if it had to be me, he'd have to be more of a later first round pick. I don't know. The passing is nice, but that's about it. Yaku Chonis, he's another guy that was more projected to go top 10. If he makes it there, the Hawks could take him. I'm not super knowledgeable on Yaku Chonis, but from what I understand, it'd be a fine pick. He's, you know, again, projected to go higher. And if, you know, I guess let me rank these guys for you. So, best case, like I said, Colin Murray Boyles. I'd kind of have Cedric Coward and Carter Bryant next, maybe. Along with Derek Queen, I guess. And then I'd be taking Sorber, Asenge, then Yaku Chonis, then last Igor Demon or Denim. I can't remember. I really can't. But yeah, that's how I list the guys that I mentioned here. Again, I think 90% chance it's going to be one of those guys. Could be someone else. Again, there is a lot of dudes, and anyone could fall. Like, Ace Bailey, he's, you know, not been working out for teams, and dude could slip. There could also be, you know, weird medical thing with some guy, and he slips. So, you know, I don't know exactly how teams are thinking about this, but, you know, that's who I have. Seems most likely at pick 13. That's who I like and don't like. So there you go. I'll stop on pick 13. I know I'm throwing a lot of names at you guys, so hopefully you're following. let's go to pick 22. So I think there's even a wider range at 22. There is so many guys, but let me try to keep it to a reasonable amount here that I list off. Okay, so listing off the guys that I've got here at 22, I've got Kalkbrenner, Berenger, Asa Newell, Walter Clayton Jr., Neat Clifford, Rashear Fleming, and Jace Richardson. Again, I promise you, I tried to narrow it down to like who I think is going to be 90% selected there. There's actually a couple of these guys could be selected at 13, namely, or even higher, or like before 22, probably Jace Richardson. Berenger has been projected at 13 a lot. But okay, let's just start at the top here with a couple centers because a lot of Hawks fans, again, want a center for this team. It's understandable. You know, we're going to need to do something at that position after likely losing Clint Capella here, which, again, probably is time. And so, Kalkbrenner, he is a 7'1". Big, who, you know, he's got some good touch around the rim. Obviously, he's got size at 7'1". He's a good shot blocker. Kind of your classic big. Now, he's not super athletic. He's not fast. He's a good screener, just really big center. He'll catch some lobs and provide rim protection. Kind of your standard big man. Obviously can't really, you know, stretch, go out to the perimeter, I guess I should say, and defend guys, but he's also not really a shooter. I guess he could develop that. I don't know that that's really projectable, but that's Kalkbrenner. I'd be perfectly happy with him at 22 as kind of a backup center prospect, and think in the future he could be more than that, could be a solid starting center in the league. So not like a star or anything, but just, you know, solid center. Baron Shea, super young guy, 18 years old, 6'11", super skinny, and he gets Clint Capella comparisons a lot, super fast. You know, he's a project again. So for the Hawks, he can't play anytime soon. It's going to take at least a couple years. I'm not that in on him at 22 or 13. Honestly, at those picks, it's not bad. It's just for the Hawks, got to wait too long for this guy. And I don't know that they want to do that or should want to. Asa Newell went to Georgia. I'm really not a big fan of his. I guess he could be like a John Collins type, I guess, at best is what I'm thinking. I'm not huge on Asa Newell. I know, sorry, UGA fans, but just not seeing it. Walter Clayton Jr. from Florida, he's, you know, obviously elite shooter. You know, he's a good player. For the Hawks, I guess if you want to add a shooter and there's not some of these other guys, at that point, you could take him. He is a good player, for sure. A little small and not really a good processor and passer on offense. So, yeah, I wouldn't love him for the Hawks, especially. Neek Clifford, though, I'm just going to wait a little bit. I'll talk about Neek Clifford. Rashear Fleming's another guy that could go there. Jace Richardson, he's a guy that I feel like he could go anywhere from 10 to 30. Like, he's a really good player. He was a good defender, good offensive player. He did really well. Forced himself into playing time as a freshman, high pedigree guy. He's just small. And, you know, with Trae Young on your team, that's tough. Don't know that he can play with Trae. He's 6'1 on a good day. And, you know, that's sometimes the limitation of having a 6'1 point guard like Trae as your main building block for the team. You know, it has a lot of pros, but, you know, there are cons like that. I don't know if they're going to take Jace. Of course, like I said at the beginning here, Ansi Soleil said, you know, we take best player available. So if he's the best player available and Ansi really, really believes that, maybe he will select him. I think it might be a little unlikely, but at 22, super reasonable. Like, I would be more than happy and okay with that selection. At 13 for the Hawks, other teams maybe, but not for the Hawks, in my opinion. Let's talk about Neek Clifford, because I think that and maybe Rashear Fleming is my best case scenario at 22, and then I'll give an honorable mention to Kalkbrenner. I do like that idea. But, okay, let's go to Neek Clifford. Again, he's my best-case scenario, I think, probably at this time for pick 22. He's, you know, here's another wing-type guy. A do-it-all, versatile wing. He's a little bit older for the class, which, you know, probably just means he's a little more ready to go right now and maybe doesn't have as high an upside. But I think he's a really, really good player. And at 22, I think you can't go wrong with it. He's a two-way player, which is super important for, you know, wings in today's NBA. Strong all on-ball defender, can guard multiple positions, probably, you know, 1 through 3. Good footwork, 6'8 wingspan. I don't know if I mentioned, but he's about 6'6. Very good rebounder for his size. Crashes the glass consistently. I mean, he's got an all-around game and just a real impact winning player. I think he would be a fantastic selection at 22. He's even got some playmaking that he's shown as a decision maker, secondary ball handler, can make passes, smart reads. He's an efficient scorer. He can, you know, shoot the three at a decent clip. I believe shot 37, 38% this year from three. He's 23-year-old guy. He's ready to go. A matured prospect who could start to contribute now. And I think he's ready to go and would be a fantastic addition to this team. Just add more depth. And, you know, everybody needs these wings that can kind of do it all. So I think he's a really, really good player and maybe a little undervalued in this draft. I would really, really like taking Nick Clifford at 2022. That's my best case. Another guy I do like is Rashear Fleming. So I'll be quick here so we can get out of here, but a little bit about Rashear Fleming. Power forward, he's listed at 6'9", got a very nice 7'5 wingspan. He's a disruptive defender. You know, his wingspan allows him to get a lot of blocks and steals. Very good rebounder. He can, you know, spot up shoot. You know, he has a high motor. He's a good finisher around the rim. This is another guy, kind of like Nick Clifford, who's, you know, a more mature prospect who, you know, again, I think he could contribute early in his career. And so, you know, either of those two guys, Fleming or Clifford, I mean, I'm going to be ecstatic if they pick one of those two at 22. And I think there's probably a good chance for that. So we'll see what happens. If you guys are still listening, I mean, kudos to you. I think I've talked a lot about several guys. This is probably one of my longer podcasts. I like to keep them to 30 minutes, but I just couldn't when I'm talking about so many guys. Even though I tried to talk about them as quick as I could for y'all. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing for the draft. We'll see what happens in 48 hours. Thank you to everyone who listened. Yeah, follow me on Twitter, HawksWatch99, HawksWatchPod on Instagram. Yeah, give me a follow, keep up with the podcast, tell your friends about it, if you enjoy it, and if you know any Hawks fans or anything, or even just anyone who, you know, likes basketball and wants to, I don't know, stay up with the Hawks every once in a while, just let them know. Again, appreciate everyone listening. I'll let y'all go. Have a good night. Enjoy the draft, and I'll probably be back with a post-draft reaction Wednesday or Thursday night. We'll see. But I'll talk to y'all later. Take care.